Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, wet, cool spring weather has not only been hard on corn growers, but as Lisa Brotz explains, the U-Pick farmers as well in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
I have to confess, I'm a little worried about the weather. No, really, I am. The fact I think a lot about the weather surprises no one who knows me in my day-to-day life. I've been a weather geek since I was a kid in Florida tracking hurricanes through the Gulf of Mexico using only coordinates given over the radio and a big map. Now I keep track of the weather every day. It's part of my job as a farmer's market manager. I worry not just about bad weather for the day of the event, though we've had more than our fair share of that so far this season. I also worry about bad weather and how it affects the farmers I work with. Eating locally and seasonally, which is something more and more of us are trying to do or are interested in doing, really implies a certain dependence on the weather behaving in ways we're accustomed to it behaving right here at home. But eating, period, implies a total dependence on the weather behaving in ways all eaters need it to and expect it to throughout the world. Here's an example of the former. Instead of a really late hard freeze spelling disaster for our strawberry season, as is occasionally the case in our area, this May's cold and damp weather, followed by this really intense period of high heat we're currently experiencing in early June, has been the culprit. Some farmers have even closed their U-Pick farms to visitors because there have been no berries. Others have had some berries, but it's rained so much and with such thunderous, tornado-y drama that what was there couldn't be picked in time for market or for distribution through other local outlets. I love asparagus and all the other first fresh things that put in an appearance after a long winter, and this winter was long. But strawberries are like this reward in my book. You get through winter, you eat the green things in early spring, and then you get to buy or pick strawberries and enjoy the resulting jams, pies, shortcakes, and other delicacies. Strawberries usher in the rest of the growing season, usually. But, you know, there are other lesser strawberries available. They don't taste the same because there's nothing like a fresh local strawberry, but we can get strawberries. And this is an example of the latter part of what I was talking about, the part about how eating at all implies a total dependence on the weather behaving in ways we consider normal. Those strawberries have been able to grow in California or Florida this year. So have the oranges for the orange juice we drink, the melons in early spring. And then there's the availability of most produce year-round. Asparagus in December comes from the southern hemisphere, but what happens if the weather's not doing what we expect it to do in all those other places? Or what if our own weather doesn't do what those other places expect it to do? The weather has been a major topic of conversation so far this year, not just in my office in Urbana or between relatives over email or the phone or between friends on Twitter and Facebook. The weather and its extreme behavior is being talked about everywhere, and it's not just polite conversation. It's in the press more than usual, too, and not just because of this spring's disasters. Just in the last few weeks, there have been pieces in the New York Times, the New Yorker, and Newsweek talking about the severity and destructiveness of this year's weather worldwide, its potential effect on food prices, which are predicted to rise sharply, and the so-called new normal that local climates have already been experiencing and will continue to experience. One of the New York Times articles mentioned the ever-changing plant hardiness zones. The United States Department of Agriculture puts out a hardiness map that helps farmers and gardeners figure out what plants will grow best, when, and where. If you pick up any seed packet or read any gardening book, there's mention of zone appropriateness for crops. What can survive winter in Zone 8, for example, would never survive winter in Zone 4. What would grow like gangbusters in Zone 7 would barely get going in Zone 3. Zones have been shifting already, and it's predicted that by 2070, Chicago could be a Zone 7, warmed up from a Zone 5. That means Chicago's climate, and ours, will better resemble that of current-day Birmingham, Alabama. While all that warm weather sounds great in theory, especially after the winter that seemed to never end, there's also something comforting in knowing that you can travel or move to that kind of weather, that it's exotic and unusual, but it's certainly not something that would happen where it's not supposed to, like here. The weather is never perfect. Any farmer of any size farm will tell you that. It's always too wet, or too dry, or too hot, or not hot enough. But this year feels like it might be the beginning of something different. We just might have to make some serious adjustments as home gardeners, as farmers, and as eaters. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
Lisa Braltz's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window.